and welcome to iConversations. I am Laura Fantacci, co-founder of Wardrobe Icons, and for today's bonus episode, I am joined by my friend and international photographer, Julie Adams, to talk about acceptance and her new book, This Is Me. What started out as an open call photo shoot in her beachside studio quickly gained momentum, and Julie enlisted the help of friend and journalist Georgia Bay to create a book that showcases unretouched portraits of real women in their swimwear, alongside moving stories of their journeys to body acceptance. A project celebrating all women in every shape and form, all walks of life in their raw, beautiful state. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm very excited to actually have the time to chat with you because we haven't had that time lately. So I'm very excited to have some time to ask you about this wonderful project that we've been following for the past, what is it now, two and a half years that you've been working on This Is Me?
Yep. And I've got to say that you guys have been behind this project from the beginning and with your support, and I can't thank you enough. So it's so lovely to have this opportunity to not only be in the magazine, but to also have a chance to chat with you about it. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's been really interesting to see this personal journey that you've been on. Something must have happened at some point in your career. I think you have probably said this to me. You wanted to do something that felt more meaningful. And that's not to say that, you know, your beautiful work as a photographer isn't meaningful. You take these beautiful photos. I've experienced having a photo taken by you, and I know that there's much more to it than just taking a picture. You really capture something beyond that. But you said to me that you wanted to do something that would maybe leave a bit of a mark or help your children. And I think this is what This Is Me has been for you. And I can imagine that it's been like a true labor of love. And now you've got this baby in your hand, the book. So my first question is about what sparked the idea of, you know, starting this journey, and what was the reason behind you wanting to do it?
Okay, well, I'm the mum of two little girls, and I started noticing even at primary school age that they started coming home and there was chat in the house about body image, which is probably a little bit of a sophisticated word for children, but more like he said, she said, that kind of, but bodies were coming up. And I thought, okay, that's not cool. I having grown up surrounded by a lot of friends who suffered from eating disorders, and I guess I had little alarm bells go off, and I thought, how can I bring up kids that are really happy in their own skin? So they kind of just growing up, they grow up with a, you know, that really strong self-esteem rather than kind of trying to find it later in life. And it just got me thinking, and I'm sure it's a question many mothers ask themselves. And I thought, well, I'm a photographer and I do play a role in this increasingly kind of image-based world that, you know, it really, I felt a sense of responsibility. And I thought, well, I want to work on a project that involves my kids from the beginning, from the grassroots of the idea. And I really wanted to do a project that celebrated all women. I wanted it to be a project that everybody was included. So my kids really got an idea that, you know, we're all individuals, we're all unique, we're all different, and that's what makes us beautiful. And that's kind of really where my inspiration came from. And I think I really wanted to make women feel special, you know. So I thought, right, I'm going to do a project that is open to the general public. So absolutely anybody can take part in this. And I wanted them to come in. I set up studios in surf clubs around Sydney, which are just like right on the beach, and invited women to come in their swimsuit. That was the only prerequisite. And I shot them unretouched in kind of the whole idea of making them still feel beautiful and wonderful, but to really celebrate themselves, you know, as an individual.
But can you talk me through the process? Because it says in the book that it was an open call. So you set up these sort of makeshift studios by the beach in Australia. But what was the sort of photographic process after that?
Okay, well, I mean, it was pretty amazing, actually, because I literally put, it was so organic. I just put up literally flyers on bus stops and all sorts of things. Like, this was not a sophisticated advertising campaign. Wow. This was like, I would put, like, it was so raw because I really wanted to get a real range of people in there. And the process was, it was set up in a surf club, which I set up like a studio.
What did the flyer say? No, hold on. I need to know. What did the flyer say? If I pick up a flyer that says, come to a random studio in your swimsuit and I'll take a picture of you, I'll be like, dodgy.
I know. I don't know how I did on the first one, that's for sure. I very exciting from my point of view was never knowing, is anyone going to turn up? I found that. I love that unknown. I've always loved that. But people said to me, why aren't you photographing women, in daylight on the beach, because your daylight work is so lovely? And I was like, no, I want them to make a decision to come to this, because this is a message, and I want to set up like a studio, because there's no hiding. If you have to walk into a studio environment, you are so brave, and it is daunting for like supermodels, let alone us real women who've never been in that position before.
If you've never been in a studio, you probably don't necessarily realize, but it's a very kind of dark, and you're there in the spotlight. And
absolutely. It's so intimidating.
Intimidating. No props, nothing.
It's a public calling. So there's a queue of people watching you. So it wasn't always private either, which is remarkable. And women were just, it was such a safe space, and women were so lovely. But I would take the photographs, and generally it was a lot of laughter, and I think a lot of nervous laughter, but a lot of laughter and a lot of joy. The women wouldn't look at the pictures on the day. Would email them just a couple of my favorites. That was my thank you for having them there, that I would send them some photographs, and which they could do whatever they'd like with. I made the choice on the image, or gave them a few, and they might say, I'd really prefer it if you didn't run that one. And I took anything on board. If someone said to me, you know what, I love the experience, but I've changed my mind, that was no problem. I didn't include, no one was included mm-hmm. who wasn't 100% on board. And if there was a picture that they were at all unsure about, it didn't run.
And all the pictures are not retouched.
Oh my gosh, none of the pictures are retouched. Sorry, this is the key thing. Why these women were even more brave is the fact that the whole point of this project is that nothing is retouched.
For women reading magazines, or who knows, even looking at social media, retouching is just part of the process. It's what fashion photographers do. The fact that you decided not to do that and expose, show these women in the most raw, is really a new concept in the fashion realm. It's really brave, and the women were really brave.
The women were very brave.
Accept that and look at themselves that way.
Very much so. I like, my whole idea was kind of like, I wanted these pictures to be a refreshing reminder of what real women look like. I think what's happened is, I completely understand, and the commercial world, there's this aspirational thing with retouching that has gone on, and occasionally there is reason for it, but it has gone over the top. It has trickled down now to the everyday user, to young girls having apps on their phones that they're using to share pictures before they share with their friends. They're distorting themselves. And that just makes me so sad. I don't want my girls growing up doing that. So I really kind of wanted to make a point of how beautiful we are, like just the way we are.
Alongside the courage comes also a sense of acceptance of, this is just me at my, rawest state. And so the women that came were not only photographed by you, but they were telling their story, because you did this with your good friend, and you've done another book actually with Georgia Bay, the editor of The Grace Tales. How did you get her involved in the process, and why did you think that was important?
Well, after the first, I did one shoot, this shoot, when it was a really, like, it was an idea that I kind of had chatting with my kids, and I just went for it and did shoot number one, which was really magical, that first shoot, because, when you first see an idea that you've got come to come to fruition and happen. It's really exciting, and it was a really magical shoot. But one thing I really realized was how difficult it was for, and I, this got much better as the shoots went on and people became more informed on what I was doing, but people found self-acceptance, looking at their photo, very difficult. And I thought, I really, for about 3 months, put the project on hold, toyed with the idea. Am I doing a good thing here, or am I upsetting people? So I took a little bit of a step back and I thought, maybe I'm not equipped to do this. This is an incredibly sensitive topic. I really gave it a lot of thought. And then I thought, you know what, this is so hard because it needs to be tackled. But I thought, this needs words. People need to not just have an image, they need to be able to say something. And luckily for me, I've got a very long-standing, wonderful working relationship with journalist Georgie Abbe. She's also the mother of two daughters. And I knew that this would be a topic that she'd just jump on board with, which I was so grateful that she did. And I must say, it really took a turn. At that point, I could move forward with it. We started an Instagram account. It started as kind of like very much about body image, but what it really kind of evolved into is women's journeys to self-acceptance, really.
Yes, and I think that although the images are, you know, incredibly powerful on their own, I was really touched when I was reading through the stories. It gave every portrait an extra layer and an understanding of, you know, this woman's, as you say, journey. I mean, you have some, you know, very powerful images in there. There's stories about anorexia and bulimia, cancer, mastectomies. At any point, did you feel like it was too much? Like, were you ever affected by any of the people that walked in? Because obviously you say you had no control, which is so much of the beauty is in that, you know, not knowing what you're going to get next. But were you ever overwhelmed or felt like you couldn't take the story that came with it, with the subject?
No, I felt so privileged to be given that opportunity to photograph that person and for them to share their story. I never felt overwhelmed. I just felt a real sense of responsibility to do them justice. So that's probably on an emotional level. I felt very protective of all the women in the book because I just thought everyone's so brave to, you know, people were saying things that they'd never shared with people before. Yeah, and to stand there in their swimsuit in front of me, and some people, you know, like this wonderful lady Belinda, she had a double mastectomy and only decided in front of me that day that she would actually like to be photographed showing her scars, which is just so trusting and so brave, you know. I just finished shooting her and then my kids came around the back of kind of the set and went to look at the screen, and I said to Belinda, would you mind if my kids look at this photo, because I realized how personal it was. And she said, absolutely, you know. And I let them know before they looked, you know, Belinda has had cancer and she's had a mastectomy, and Vivian, and she looked at the photo and she was just so intrigued. And Belinda said to her, better than dead, don't you think, Vivian? You know, like, so powerful. I look at her in that picture and all I see is this radiant, inspirational woman. And what I was really blown away about was people's bravery to help others. You know, like, people were doing things to normalize things in order to help other people.
I found it so refreshing to look at all those portraits and see what we see in real life as opposed to what, you know, it's filtered through in the fashion world and advertising. It was so beautiful. And there's one quote actually that I want to read out. It's probably one of my favorites. It's a portrait that you took of Nadine, and she's, yes, 56, and she is a beautiful lady. And she says, I think society as a whole needs to get over its obsession with the idea of perfection. We're all perfectly imperfect. I'm proud of my body for keeping me thriving over the last 56 years, enabling me to bring my two boys into the world and being a vehicle that I can express myself through. Which I thought was so, you know, yeah, so beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Perfection. I think that is probably,
and that is her journey to acceptance, and there's many more.
Yeah, I think that that society's obsession with perfection is what's led us there. But I wanted this book to be a really special reminder to women that actually we're all really beautiful just the way we are, and actually the thing we've got going for us is the fact that we are unique and we are the only version of ourselves. So that's what's beautiful.
And how do you feel now that it's sort of finished? Like now that you've done it, you spent 2 years doing these shoots and putting the book together, which I know because I've been speaking to you throughout the process is not an easy feat, especially for a perfectionist,
no,
isn't it?
Oh my God. Layout. My publisher would attest to that.
I know. We're made of the same batter. Yeah. How does it feel now? Like, how do you feel? Like, I can imagine that this is massive. You've got this beautiful product that you've put so much love and care and thought into it. How do you feel that now that it's finished in a way? Well, are you going to do more?
Well, I've already been shooting since, so I feel very like this was a really big message, and I feel like it was so important and. It kind of was just getting in its groove almost when it was time to put the book out. So I kept shooting, and yes. Diversity was massively important to me in this book. The book was shot in Australia, but I've tried to have the most diverse range of Australians from cultural backgrounds, shapes, sizes. I mean, to be honest, for me, it's not finished. It's beautiful to see it, and I'm so proud of that. I'm really very married to the message. I've already shot again since publishing the book, which was wonderful because there was some people, as diverse as I tried to make the book, it's never enough people. And so I really wanted more and more people to be included. So I recently did a wonderful shoot in Queensland, which was wonderful. We got some fantastic Indigenous women came, which was wonderful, and a really different, diverse bunch of women, which was fantastic. So for me, it's ongoing. I'm still going to be shooting it, and I'm going to keep the Instagram account alive.
I wanted to ask you, can you talk to me a little bit about, because when we talk about it like this, it seems like easy, like and it seems like it was, you had luck, you had chances, like, but actually, you and I know that it's hard. It's hard to make it in this industry. It's hard to feel accomplished. It's hard not to compare yourself to your peers, and therefore take that comparison and to kind of that make you feel less so. And so I know we've had this conversation about accomplishment because it's easier for me to look out from the outside and think, wow, look at the effort that you've put into this. You came from Australia with your $500 and you quit a job that was security. You tried to make it in an industry that is famously hard, and you've put out yourself out there, and yet there's often wanting more and not accepting your own successes. So I think my question is, what are you still looking for? Like what are the things that you feel you still need to accomplish?
Oh, it's such a tricky time this is a tricky time right now to answer that question, just because it's such uncertainty in our industry right now. I feel, look, to just backtrack a little bit, you're right. I mean, it has been a long road. I've been out on my own now as a photographer. I've been in the doing photography now for 20 years since I left that job. I've moved cities 3 times, which is incredibly difficult.
Yes, and I think it's important for people that don't know, your line of job. It's so much about working a city and making it in one place, knowing all the magazine editors, all the agencies. And so actually changing at such crucial times when you're going from London.
Especially when in your early parts of your career, like when you're an emerging photographer. Different if you're really established, you can do it, you can move wherever you want and pick up work. But when you're an emerging photographer, you're very much, your kind of careers grow with the stylists and the editors and the makeup artists and things that you work with, so you all grow together. So when you start chopping and changing cities and you don't have that kind of base, it's really, it is difficult. And different cities have a different flavour they like too, you know. But I wouldn't change it because I got to experience so much life that I'm so grateful for. Also during this time, I've had two children. So, which, you know, as a freelancer is also hard because you don't take time off and have any maternity leave or anything. Like I was always on set kind of breastfeeding after 2 months kind of thing. I always just carried on because I never thought I could really step away. I didn't think I'd ever really been established enough because I was moving. So I always felt like I was always just working hard, you know, because of that movement and because I was always feeling a bit like I was reestablishing and that I felt like, oh, I can't take time out because no one will miss me. I've always been comfortable to say that I'm a really hard worker. I'm a super hard worker. I'm always like, you know, I'm always pushing myself. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't go to plan and sometimes it does. Like I've ended up in my career working for so many publications that I've only would have dreamt of working for, like Vogue and Harper's and Marie Claire and like things that I've like always wanted to do. But like all jobs, like things are up and down, you know, sometimes sometimes you're really busy and sometimes you're more busy doing personal projects. And that's one thing I have learned is that you always should be busy. Like as a freelancer, as a photographer, regardless of if you are being booked or not, you should be busy because the only reason you're going to get booked is because you're busy, because you're pushing yourself, because you're being creative, because you're showing your love for your craft, you know. And so that's something that I've, you know, always worked really hard on. What do I still want to do? I feel like I've hardly scratched the surface.
Wow, well, that's exciting to hear because I would love to know what next.
I feel like I've hardly scratched the surface. I feel like I have so much, like I left, I hope, like I never see retiring. I want to be one of those photographers who's always working.
Is the current situation of the world inspired or planted a seed of maybe what you want to do next?
I definitely, a lot of responses to that really. One, in our industry, which is really suffering right now, I really realized you've got to really work off your own back. You've got to like be motivated. There's no sitting around just waiting for jobs. You've got to make stuff happen. I feel very passionately about continuing This Is Me. I think because it does deal with standing up and saying, this is who I am. I'm an individual. No matter what my cultural background is, no matter what my, you know, what my size, my age. So I think that that's only really, I could do so much more with that. And I would love to do, and it's big on my agenda when we can get on planes again, but I'd love to do This Is Me, Great Britain. That's what I'd love to do as a project.
Oh, wow.
It's the top of my list of what I'd love to do. But I'd also really love to, which is not a thought which I have developed in any way yet, but I know I've got a calling to do something more here with the Indigenous in Australia, and I hope that that opens up and an idea, you know, comes to me, which how I can do something or how I can use my skills to be of some benefit.
And my last question is with regards to Maddie and Vivi, because you said at the beginning of our conversation that you did this, you know, inspired by them, and you took them on, you know, on this journey with you. They came on the shoots, they saw the women. Have they told you how this has affected them, and how does that make you feel? Because I know in my line of work, especially recently, I've been looking at my girls and thinking that this is the time to remind them about the, you know, where to stand for justice and
yes
recognizing the right from the wrong at this age, I think that they can still look at me as their inspiration. Soon enough, they won't. If anything, they'll probably do the opposite of what I say. So I'm really taking this opportunity to, and this moment in time, to try and talk to them about the difference between right and wrong and where to stand and take, you know, speak up. And so with This Is Me, you wanted to do that. And do you think you've achieved that? Have they told you anything?
I think, like, I probably won't know if I've achieved anything until I watch how the teenage years pan out. Do you know what I mean? I've asked the girls, and they both kind of say, oh, you know, Mum, you're telling us to love ourselves just the way we are. And that's exactly what I'm telling them. And I just hope they hold on to that, because I think, you know, the world throws you enough kind of, you know, curveballs and different challenges in life, you know, but if you can just go back to the fact that, you know, that your mum tells you you're lovely just the way you are, well, that's a pretty good thing, you know, and that you can just remember that you're special because you're an individual and you're unique, that you should be proud and celebrate who you are. If they can hold on to that, and they're telling me they're hearing it right now, but, like, you know, those years are ahead. So I hope so. And I hope maybe they pick up the book, you know, when it's lying around and dip in and take something resonates with them, which is what I'm hoping everybody does.
Thank you, Jules. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, guys. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
There aren't many things that come along in life and stop us in our tracks, but Julie Adams and Georgia Bay's book, This Is Me, is one of them. The compilation of unretouched portraits is a celebration of women and an essential reminder that beauty lies in our individuality. Thanks for listening to Eye Conversation. Turns out, talking never goes out of fashion. You can find more episodes of these insightful conversations with the women who inspire us on Apple Podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps to get the word out.